Good evening and welcome to Radio Alchemy, where we fuse the fringe with conventional wisdom. From secret societies to out-of-body experiences, black budget technology to this new world disorder, we want you to join us each week as we look at this thing called life with all the pieces. All right, loves, thank you all for staying up so late. How fantastic, and it's so amazing for all of you to be with us last week. It was kind of a landmark event. Roy, me, Tom Hennigan, Stu Webb, and you. That was a fantastic little seminar that we had on the air, and I thank you all so much for being up late. The tapes are up on the website, so you can hear them, you know, in their entirety. And also, if you want to support Radio Alchemy, you can also purchase tapes. Just write me here at the station, bada bing, and we will get them out of you. But now we need to forge ahead. And this is kind of related to a question that we had at the end of the show, where we were talking about the reptilian agenda. Some people came out and asked, well, hey, you know, David Icke, you know, says that aliens are what is ruling the world, they're playing the marionettes with all the bloodlines here on the planet. And so there was a time, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, when I put out a phone call. I called Bob Dobbs because I saw something in the newspaper which harkened me back to the first time that I met him in Mesquite, Nevada, back in 1998, I think, 1999, 1998, and it just sent me through the roof. I'm going to replay that little communication for you right now.
Bob, Evan, hey, man. Excuse me, yesterday the New York Times front page talking about how scientists have discovered that a change in the jaw in humans on Homo sapiens some 2.5 million years ago led to an enlarged brain and the emergence of human beings from apes. So freaking fantastic, man. So cool. Oh, my God. Okay. Well,
Friday.
Okay, so what? I am completely excitable. I am out of my cranial cavity. And why is that? Well, tonight, in this first hour, we are going to be speaking with Bob Dobbs. You know him, okay? We have had him on a zillion times. And the reason why is that so we can finally get what he is talking about with our four-bodied existence, the idea that everything has disappeared. But it is amazing. That and what you'll hear tonight in this first hour is how the alien agenda basically is being subsumed by the television environment. But more importantly than that, it comes down to how we came to be these immaculate, amazing creatures that do the most heinous things. But we do also beautiful things. But how is it we came to be at the top of this species, at the top of this heap? That's what we're going to be speaking with Bob Dobbs in this first hour. And so make sure and stay tuned for that. In the second hour, I have hunted down this little genie. His name is Virgil Armstrong, former OSS CIA member, high-level Air Force operative, has had his own relations with particular extraterrestrial beings that have been on this planet. And he has a new call out to people, a new warning. New information that he is bringing to our attention. So in the second hour, former CIA OSS member Virgil Armstrong. But in this first hour, Bob Dobbs, the Bootians, and you. All right. So stay tuned. All right, so without further ado, I just want to thank all you darlings. I hope you are all safe and sound, and thank you for being with us. And Bob, I want to welcome you back onto the lovely airwaves of KPFK Radio Alchemy. How are you, sir?
Great. My tremendous pleasure to be back Good morning to you, Evan, and to our listeners. And it is always thrilling to hear that message again. That was such a one of the best voicemail messages I ever got in my life. That was incredible. I wasn't aware of the New York Times article, and the case was closed at that point. As much as we need today, we don't need much science today, as you can see by the results of science so far. So any little indication is good enough for me.
Well, you know what, Bob, when I just absolutely flipped. I think I read that article at least 15 times, and then it was like, oh, my God, I got to call Bob. It's like, who else would understand? Who could I talk to about this amazing piece of evidence? It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen very often that
well,
you hear a theory and then you get proof.
Yeah, it was predestined. I mean, yeah, I had a pretty good audience. This was in August 99 at Mesquite,
right.
Nevada. A pretty good audience, but we met after that. You were interested in what I had said. You got more of the details, so it stuck in your mind.
Yes.
I don't know what I said, if what I said stuck in anybody else's minds, but we were predestined to be involved in this story. You heard it. Then you been dealing with me since then. And so I think you're the only person in the world who would have realized the significance of that news story, because what it means and what I said is so obscure. It's more obscure than anything you've had on your show so far.
Yes. Yes. Well, look at that. It's so obscure, but there is a piece of evidence right there. And Bob, you know what? What I have queued up is your talk in Mesquite, Nevada, queued up to where you were just going to be talking about the Boudians and their altercations of the Cro-Magnon. Can I go ahead and play that?
Oh, I'd love to hear it again.
Bravo. Here we go.
Now we go back to the Boudians. What did the Boudians do to us before? They actually were here before. These documents show, and this is what I was taught as a young person. I was born in 1922, and as I was brought into the Illuminati because of the collapse of the Illuminati in 1929, and the Illuminati had a problem in the 30s and 40s, they had to bring my father in to do gopher intelligence work. He then had the opportunity, first time a butler level, got into the oligarchy. He then saw the opportunity to bring me in. So I was made given access to this kind of information. What the Illuminati knew was that the Boudians came here in 27,500 BC and saw Neanderthal man, and they saw another strain of apes, I'll call Neanderthal apes, and another strain of apes that would become Cro-Magnon men. They decided to alter the strain that becomes the Cro-Magnon, not the Neanderthal. They alter the first strain, the Neanderthals die out. What did the Boudians do? They altered our wrist for more flexibility, and they altered our jaw, you know, with some kind of futuristic Star Wars kind of technology. Maybe they zapped it, put a laser, and then worked with the basic molecular chemical structure. But they altered our jaw, which allowed us to eat different things and move our jaw. Just simple physiological changes. The wrist and the jaw, 27,500 BC. The result of that effect was the creation of memory in the human being, which was based on a division between the conscious and the subconscious. The apes don't have that clear of a division between the conscious and the unconscious. They perceive, they directly react instinctively, like an amoeba, to things. When you bring in the reflective factor, the conscious and the subconscious, then you can create memory. It's almost like a time lag comes in. So the alteration affected the chemistry of the line that becomes Cro-Magnon man, affected the chemistry of their brain. And that memory allowed them to reflect, and then that created a more sophisticated interaction among the apes who were to become humans.
That was Bob Dobbs back in 1999 in Mesquite.
Something on the harmonic inversion. So I remember that personally. Then 12 years later, that's a neat number, 12. And the morning, probably my talk, the devastation of what I was going to say, just shook up the geoplates and caused a massive earthquake in Turkey. And so I got psyched by that, because these kind of things happen when I start to move into a more public role. And then I gave my speech, which was a tremendous speech, and
yes.
You just played the key point.
Now, tell us, Bob, when you were talking about the documents you held, I mean, those were, besides the D-cell that you brought out, also, people were going crazy for the D-cell.
Yeah.
The second crazy piece of work that you had were these documents. Tell us about this information on the Boudians that you got through these documents. What are the documents?
Well, you know, my father was, just a minute, there's a little noise here coming in. Someone else is walking through the room here, so I'm moving
getting distracted.
A little off. Okay, I think that's Connie, I'm not sure. what happened is my family was Butler family for the oligarch for 300 years. And as I say in the quote, the oligarchy were weakened when money became public property in the 30s. Private ownership of money was removed after 1929. So the power around that was a bit weakened, the power of those ancient trust funds. So I was brought in in 1944, 45, allowed to operate with my father, who had been brought in the 20s and 30s, started to be, and Butlers weren't part of that level of oligarchical secret meetings. So he was brought into it in the 20s and 30s, and so therefore he became a member of the Priory of Sion, which was a operation that required some PR to confuse the people in the 20th century, but it was based on actual documents of certain families, like the St. Clair family in Scotland, that had set up, that had documents from 1340s, which were copies of documents from 600 AD that came out of Jerusalem, which were about the life of the Nazarene or Jesus Christ, as most people call them. So those kind of documents were around the Prior Sion, and my father had access to them and would read them. They were passed on through the families that he worked for and his parents and grandparents. Those documents I made Xeroxes of years ago, and I brought Xeroxes to the conference and read from them.
Wow.
And remember Pamela Stonebrook?
Yes, she was. Yes, absolutely.
She was ecstatic about these documents because I read some excerpts, but after we went back to the hotel room and I showed her other stuff that I didn't have a chance to read. And they matched her vision of what she was experiencing in her abduction fantasies or whatever the hell was happening to her.
Right,
remember?
Right.
She had children with extraterrestrials on some level. But she was amazed that the terrestrials that she was interacting with or the images of them were exactly as described in these documents describing the Boudians. So I always remember Pamela being very excited about that. It confirmed whatever she was going through.
And so tell me, I mean, when you're talking about Xerox copies, do you have 100 pieces of, you know, sheets of paper? Or
yeah,
were there thousands?
I mean, you know, this is interesting. While we're right when the Da Vinci, is the Da Vinci Code out yet?
It's coming out this Friday. No, the 19th. No, it's coming out next week.
Okay, the point is that I am the person that that's really modeled on in the sense that I know all about the Prior Sion, was part of it. And the interesting thing is that movie is coming out right when I'm talking about the real documents.
Right.
And yes, I have a lot of the documents, copies of them, that the Prior Sion that were legitimate, but also I am aware of the ones that are fake that Pierre Plantard started putting into the bibliotheque and the library that we now know about were fake documents.
Oh, very good.
But that was an interesting disinformation campaign to cover up what was already a fact. And the Da Vinci Code Prince Charles had to get the Da Vinci Code movie happening. They had to promote the book. I remember here in New York City when the book, there was an article in the New York Observer before the book came out of the conferences of the people in the business, the editors and the PR people. They were shopping this manuscript around and forcing everybody to pay attention to it. And they were predicting it was going to be a big hit. And it was. So it was made to be a big hit. And then that was necessary to lay the grounds for making it a movie.
Right.
And Prince Charles wants to get this thing into the Android meme. It has to become a meme. It's the only way it's going to affect people's belief systems.
Now, why are they going after, why are they bashing the Catholic Church so much and not like all the other religions that are based around the very same?
Well, it's all about Jesus. The documents show that that Jesus was a lot different from what the Catholic Church supports.
Right.
And they've got the proof. And they've kept it close to their chest for 400 years, 500 years. And when push came to shove, they could see the evolution of society. They knew we would become a global village. And at that point, it's musical chairs, you know, mm-hmm. 10 little Indians, and who's going to be sitting in the final chair? So the Protestant gang, they have this whole meme they want out there to counter whatever the Vatican's going to claim.
Oh, very good.
It's a battle, and it's written up in Finnegan's Wake. You know, James Joyce Finnegan's Wake talks about the 400-year battle between the Vatican and the Protestant Church, how they hand back and forth this check that neither will cash. It's very interesting. Page 570 to 575, approximately, of Finnegan's Wake, if you want to take a look at it.
Okay. Now, well, we can definitely jump off, of course, into the Da Vinci Code, but what we are talking about is something very extraterrestrial. And we are talking about the documents that gesture towards the actual making of the actual creation of Homo sapiens. And the one thing that's interesting in the news stories that you guys can find out there and what I sent you, Bob, was that they were saying that they found that there was a genetic manipulation of the jaw, of a particular gene inside the jaw, which...
They're not saying that there was a genetic manipulation. They said there was a genetic factor, right?
Right, right. Yeah. But they made it sound as though somehow it just sparked and it was, you know.
It just happened. Why it happened.
Right. They don't know why. It's just boom. And all of a sudden the cranial cavity explodes with potential.
Yes.
Which
it's
is
exactly
amazing.
Exactly the scenario that I laid out. And the important thing is that you have a lot of alternative theories on your show, and there's all kinds of other shows like Coast to Coast and that. And some people might claim they've got evidence, like Hoagland might claim he's got evidence about whatever he's talking about, but it's never said by the establishment. He
right.
claims, or others would claim, that the establishment is covering up the evidence, right?
Right.
I'm the only person in this fringe way of looking at things, or wacky way, or whatever you want to call it, who has said something, which is pretty outrageous in itself, that scientists have come up with information that can be mapped onto my theory or my projection, my hypothesis, or my, quote, fact, and I didn't tell them to do that. And they're not covering it up. They're saying this is what happened.
Well, it's the information age, and everything's out there, and you just got to know what to look for or something.
No, the information age is controlled within the Android meme by...
Oh, yeah.
The meme of science, and you can have all kinds of evidence until George Bush or the White House says it's real, it ain't real. And so they use the scientists, the mainstream scientists, to tell us what's real.
Right.
This is supposedly a scientist saying what's real, that the jaw was altered. And therefore, that is a candidate for Bush to say it.
Yes.
He may not say, well, this proves Bob Dawes, but I'm the only one who's come up with a theory that science on its own is pointing towards.
Well, okay, so let's get to... So
that's why we're celebrating me tonight.
Yes.
And you're covering this field and all the different people you've interviewed. You have to say that this is Bob Dawes, the only one who's got something that has been objectified by the others.
Well, that's why, you know, I know Zachariah Sitchin certainly has a huge following in reading the Sumerian tablets and the Nibiru and mining for gold and the creation of people. And unfortunately, we don't have access to those tablets, wouldn't be able to read the Sumerian text. And so what is, you know, and then we have David Icke and the reptilian agenda and things like that. And so it's really fantastic to in a sense come with one and have a theory put out there and to see it just right out of the blue, just right there in the news, very objectively come out and be said. And so that's why, yeah, Bob, we are celebrating you and celebrating what you have said. And I'm trying to emphasize it a lot on the show, between theory and then the actual evidence. And I hope people hear it and really, you know, start to look at how all of these different theories mesh or don't mesh and what you keep in your cranial cavity and what you can let go. Because this one, you can go to the bank
right.
with this one. And you can find the evidence out there on the net for yourself.
Yeah, when I spoke at Mesquite, I said I'd do one conference. I'd have this tape made by the Browns, right?
Right, Bob and Terry.
What is it?
Bob and Terry Brown.
Bob and Terry Brown. They have this conference every year. It's a pretty famous, well-run conference. And they wanted me to come back. I said, no, I did one tape, one lecture, and I said, I'll stand by that for the next 25 years. Let's see if anything is proven that supports what I said. But what I actually said was pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
Everybody else is talking about maybe moon colonies or Martians, that Jehovah was a guy who made the humans clones and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You know, this idea that we're slaves of UFOs for millennia.
Right, exactly. Yes, yes.
That theory has been around for about 25 years, but the thing is, I just brought up this point about altering the jaw and the wrist.
Right.
It's
right.
Like a tiny little element, but it's important. And it also makes sense if you have a good understanding of what could have happened. It would be a subtle alteration by that.
Yes.
On that level. Because I don't think the UFOs have enslaved us or anything, or the Bootings are doing that. They've been monitoring us for 60 million years. You know, when we were little rodents, little lemurs. They noticed at the time that the dinosaurs got nailed, which was not 60 million years ago. It was 12 million B.C. And I have my sources on getting the actual time. But at that point, the Bootians, the UFO guys, were floating around watching the planet, and they noticed this little lemur kind of animal was very flexible. And so he said, well, the flexibility is the key to evolution or adapting. And so it was a tough environment for the dinosaurs and a lot of other animals, but the lemur was really interesting. So they tracked that, and it evolved into the apes.
How interesting.
And
wow.
That was over millions of years. But that's how long they've been tracking this planet, because they knew that something would evolve. Or now, let me just add this point. This, I think I said this in the lecture. Why did they alter us? They had a personal agenda, the Bootians. And it happened about 6,000 B.C. They got what they wanted. They were able to have a human interaction with them to the point that they could have sex. And the point of the Bootians was to take advantage of the human DNA and structure and have the Bootian structure altered by the interaction with the humans, and the baby that came out, which was a combination of the Bootian and the human, was altered slightly so that the Bootians had a better structure that they wanted. This is their plan. Their plan was to create something to mate with to alter their own structure.
Oh my! So to meld the genetics of the altered Cro-Magnon, but what does that? But how would that help them? That just means from that generation on, there is a nice altered structure. But what? That's interesting. We're going to have to get back to that.
Yeah,
lots of questions.
Very simple. There was part of general evolution, and they were going to be part of human evolution and interact with it occasionally and help it with little technology, like they gave an ancient civilization ball bearings. That was a big deal, and that helped that particular civilization really progress just to get ball bearings.
Yes.
But it's little things like that. But the point, their personal agenda was to alter their structure. So they couldn't do it within their own framework, so they had to mate with a different kind of being, and the mixture would sort of balance out whatever the Bootians had and make it different, and then they were happy with what they got from that.
Well, look at that. Talk about mutts. We're not only mutts when it comes to the Homo sapiens, but also, my God, on a galactic mutt that we are, talking about animal husbandry.
We weren't altered. The baby that came
but
out.
But theirs, yes, that's what I'm saying.
They took that baby. Took it back to Booties, you know what I mean? They took the children they got
right.
And then grew that and made a different species of themselves.
How interesting. All right, loves.
Okay.
This is KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 FM, up there in lovely Santa Barbara. On the lines, Bob Dagnabbit. And so we are talking tonight about actual evidence with a man that had actual access to the paperwork about so many things. And one of them has to be about your creation by a star system, a planetary kind of people called the Booties. And so lots coming up. So stay tuned. We're just taking a short break. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
All I want to do is get moving. I'm feeling moody, baby.
All right, loves. Yeah, we're having some fun tonight. Really free form. I earlier just got to play the actual, you know, I took you back with me when I was sitting in that audience and I heard Bob Dobbs on stage talk about this Boodian kind of deal. And I was very skeptical. I was like, Boodians? What do you mean Boodians? I know, you know, I knew about the Sumerians and the you know, Marduk and the Pleiadians and all of them, you know, folks, Beta Reticuli and everything, Zeta Reticuli. And so what is this Boodian thing? And it ends up being like, an absolute cranial blaster for me.
Right.
Around
now,
3 years
ago. Boodies is a 7-star constellation and one of the most well-known stars, Arcturus. So we're talking about a constellation of 7 stars.
Oh, Arcturus is a part of the Boodies?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's an interesting point. The guy, Marconi, around 1924, he was interested in extraterrestrial contact, and he mapped out whatever calculations and instruments to use. He decided that the most likely place that had extraterrestrial life that was going to contact us was the Boodies.
Really?
Yeah, Marconi.
Whoa.
The guy who invented the wireless.
Well, that's amazing. Now, do you think, okay, something like that, how would he even think? I mean, how would he even think about the Boodies? Is this
some way
that... Well, you know,
I didn't know this until Robert Guffey, an old friend of ours, he read a book, and I'll have to find out what that book was, and I even have my files. I think he Xeroxed it. He Xeroxed the pages where it talked about Marconi doing that, and it laid out how he did it. It's pretty interesting, but it's not something that's talked about. You know, nobody talks about the Boodians or about what Marconi did.
And also, you know, I called and told you about that book by David Gray, I believe, which is the architecture of Washington D.C.
Yes.
And how they lined that up astronomically. Ooh. Benjamin Bernanke, and not Benjamin Bernanke. It's a doggone it. So that's the new Fed chair. He didn't do that. It was a guy with a very similar name. Anyways. I'll think of that name in a second, but that one of the main structures of Albert Einstein, that his foot is pointed straight at the Boodies, and that was a very significant design element that was laid down by the Masons and in creating Washington, D.C. So again,
yeah,
the Boodies come up.
Let me just explain something here, that there's been contacts after the mating in 6000 B.C., the Boodians withdrew. They had accomplished their agenda, but they wanted the humans to develop themselves, but they're ready to help, and they helped a little bit here and there, but they generally weren't interacting as much as they were from 6000 BC past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or BCE now, right? Before the Common Era, is
yes.
What you say now. But the thing is that just as the Dogon and different oral traditions in different parts of the world pass on this idea of the star people, it's all littered through cultures and folklore, and it's based on fact. There was interaction. But the thing is that you can understand how that would pass on through the secret societies and the secret groups over the last 2,000 years, and it would arrive at the Rosicrucians and the Freemasons and the gang around Francis Bacon and all that. They would have this knowledge, and the Priory of Sion people do come from those very wealthy trust funds who had access to information, and that's what I had copies of. So I hear people on different shows, Art Bell occasionally, George Norrie, where they these guys come on, experts on Freemasonry, and some of them acknowledge that they seem to be aware of extraterrestrial contact and embedded it in their mysticism, right?
Yes.
So it would, or their symbology. So it's not strange for me to hear that the Freemasons involved in building Washington and the buildings there were had a reference to ET contact. Now, it doesn't mean that they had interaction with them. There's been very little last 2,000 years. But they did have it entrusted the oral tradition that passed it on.
Yes.
So that's a good thing that you found about the them seeming to understand that the Boodians are, there's all kinds of civilizations that monitor us and look around, interact, like up in British Columbia, I know a lot of the native art there was influenced by Pleiadian contact.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Boodians that are the ones assigned and are specialists in bringing a culture into intergalactic civilization.
Oh.
So the Boodians are the ones assigned to do that. They're known as the ambassadors. They're very good at it because it's a very subtle ecological project and method and technique and protocol to begin to bring a new civilization like we're arriving at to interact with other life.
Okay, Bob, so tell us about, you know, all of them with these documents and what you know. Tell us, you just mentioned the Pleiadians influencing this artwork, you know, up in Canada.
Yeah.
What other species? I mean, when we, because the question that we had asked a while back, or somebody had asked, is the reptilian idea true? Is that something that you discovered in the paperwork also? What other extraterrestrial races are you aware of?
There's another one that's inferior to the Boodians, and they're the ones doing the cattle mutilations when they were prominent in the 70s, and if they still do them, they're the ones doing it, because whatever weird mindset they have, remember, this is strange beings in different environments. They look at reality differently. They are infatuated with the cattle, and they think they're getting something from it when they mutilate it and extract something. So that's not being done by any
government agency.
Any government agency. That's actually being done by a form of extraterrestrial civilization.
Okay.
But the Boodians think they're just, you know, idiots.
So they're not around.
They're not relevant to the level the Boodians think on and live on. Let's see. I do know this is how the contact's going to be made. I may have said it on the show before, but the official contact will be indicated when a device is put on the space, the Soyuz, what do they call the spaceships up there?
The space station?
Yeah, the space station, the one the Americans and the Russians are working together on.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what they call it today.
Just the International Space Station.
Oh, okay. And that, the device will be put on there, and it'll say, whatever astronaut or whatever will see it on that ship, it will say, press here and talk. So they'll do that. It's almost like the scene in 2001 when they see the obelisk, right?
Right, right.
Or that big slab. And then they'll start interacting with something, and that's how it'll unfold, and that'll be the official contact. And I've been saying that for years, but that's in the documents. These documents seem to have got the word on how it would happen.
Now, okay, so you mentioned that weird species that's doing the cattle mutilations, the Pleiades, and inspired
and the
artwork.
And the Boodians are doing the crop circles. The real crop circles, which are about 20% of them, they're making ice circles now, and it's pretty hard for humans to fake those. You know what I mean?
Right.
There would be some kind of tracking the footprints, but these are circles, crop circles made right outside, right in the middle of a frozen pond or something that would be hard to get to do, maybe even not even safe enough to walk on. But the Boodians are doing the crop circles, and they are not, everybody puts all the symbolism into it and relates it to human secret societies or human cultural symbolism and hieroglyphics and even chaos mathematics. What we see in there is our own projection, and the Boodians make them for us to see our own culture, but they actually work on a electromagnetic or kinetic level. They're actually working on us on another level. It's not based on what we see.
Right. I remember it was on with GLOW, and I do have something queued up from a conversation
That
we had with GLOW, but it was in that conversation that you had discerned and brought out that they do the simple, simple formations.
Simple visually, but they are activated on another level of energy.
Right.
They do something else to our matter that we live in here.
That's very interesting. And all
maybe we should play that. That's relevant.
Okay. All right. So where we're at. Also, I'm bringing in Darlings. Remember when we had GLOW on, and GLOW, very interesting backstory of Marshall McLuhan, Frank Zappa, and James Joyce being able to materialize in this woman's apartment. So we were having a party on the air with them, and we posed the question of the reptilian agenda, if it is real. And so I've queued the CD up. At a point where this being, after we ask this question, there is a being in her house that has materialized, and McLuhan, Zappa, and James Joyce have all kind of stood back and let this being take over. So
right, which GLOW did not expect to happen. And this was February, early February 2005.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay, these beings exist, but okay, the way that they've been brought to us in kind of our reality or whatever, it's come from someone. That's what he's trying to say.
Is what from someone?
It's come from somebody. It's like somebody's idea.
So there are beings, extraterrestrial beings, and we're projecting a certain image on them.
Yes.
So they don't look like the image we project of the reptilian?
No, not completely, no. Sort of, yeah, similar, but not the same, no.
Are they bifurcated?
No.
In their chest plate, the actual ones.
Sorry, I can't hear you, Bob.
Are they bifurcated in their chest, like sliding ribs? Is that what the aliens actually look like, one set anyways?
Yeah, they do seem to have, like, ribs, but they have kind of, I don't know, these weird kind of like, they're flatter, like the ribs aren't like singular ribs, it's like a whole...
Yeah, it's overlapping.
Yeah, it's like a plate.
Yeah, now, are they showing it to you or just saying it?
No, I'm seeing it.
Yes, now that's the description I got of the Boodians. Those are the ones that are going to make contact with us in, say, about 20 years.
And Bob, you're saying that they're the ones that are also doing the crop circles, right?
Yes. Remember in Mesquite, Nevada, in August 99, you were there. I met you then, Eben. I described them. There's all kinds of life out there, but the ones that are going to make contact with us have this slatter, this overlayered ribcage. It's one of their aspects. They're basically a human shape, you know, bipeds and that. But they do have the overlapping rib cages. And you remember that, GLOW. I mean, Eben.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
clearly.
That's what I'm referring to. They're from the Boodies. And so, GLOW, they're confirming that entity, that shape exists, and that's what we're projecting the reptilians on?
Okay, let me ask that.
Are they putting that in our heads?
Yeah, who's putting the reptilian image in our head?
All right, okay, yeah, that's where M's going. Like the point, he's holding his finger in here. It's like a point, it's like... Yeah, planting the idea, isn't it? Absolutely. But the idea hasn't come out. It's close, but it's not quite right.
But where did the idea, the image of the reptilians that everybody has in that world, in our culture, come from?
Them.
Them?
It is coming from them, but obviously, I think we overlay, you know, the kind of, our own kind of reaction or ideas to it.
That was, gosh, well over a year ago. We had Bob, we had the gentleman on, GLOW, and then another being had showed up right in her apartment. And you guys will have to go back and check out this whole thing. Bob, from your experience from that, we can go so many places with this this discussion. But do you think that we actually had a booty in there?
it seems to be, because I mean, GLOW's not a channel. She just sees dead people. And Marsh McLuhan came to her back in 2002. She didn't even know who Marsh McLuhan was, and then I found out about her. She got in touch indirectly, and we met through the internet, and then I started talking to McLuhan when he was in her room. And then Zappa showed up, and then James Joyce showed up. But this was the first time another person showed up, or another being. And I want to tell you, I don't know, the audience may not know this. During that session, I was asking Zappa some personal questions, and he got insulted. The entity called Frank Zappa, whatever it is, the ghost of Frank. And he withdrew from the session and was sulking.
Right.
Well, after the session was over, I called up GLOW, and we talked about the whole this booting image that came, which was shocking and surprising. But she said, you wouldn't believe what happened to Zappa. I said, what? He said, well, he was off in the distance, and he wouldn't come and join McLuhan and Joyce and the booting at the table like they always did. She said, after a session, the three of them, McLuhan, Joyce, and Zappa, would sit at a table and talk about what had happened and some of the charades and pantomimes they did, which was their method of communicating. So they were trying to get Zappa to come to the table, and they eventually got him to come over, and she's watching this, and the Boudin gets up, goes over, and stands behind Zappa and does a massage or like a chiropractic action on his spine from the back. And she said a big light came out of Frank's chest, and then he relaxed, and he was sort of not paranoid anymore. He was healed by the Boudin. Now, what's interesting, if you go back and listen to that show, we talk about the Kundalini and about the energies that come up the spine. That actually came up earlier in the show.
Right.
And then no one would know this unless you talked to Glow after, but I happened to call her up and found out that he actually did a Kundalini kind of hearing, a healing on Zappa.
Wow.
So that was a neat follow-up. And, you know, I don't think, I have to ask Glow, she's very involved in doing other things right now, so she's not... she's not doing this performance right now. She's actually learning how to be a better medium.
Right, right.
Taking courses.
Right.
And she's pretty good at remote viewing, but she wants to develop her ability and not just see ghosts.
Right,
so
right.
She says that Zappa McLuhan, and this is in England, and Joyce hang around her garden, and they let her do, and they're just laying back and just being there but not bothering her. But I don't think the Boudin has ever come back. I'll have to ask her that. I can't remember if I asked her.
Yes, we went on and on. It's really an amazing discussion. And unfortunately, there was something wrong with my mic. So that's why it's really garbled. But I had it up on the site for a long time. And I'm going to set up a little Bob section because there's so much stuff.
Yeah,
from
what
that.
Was interesting for me is that I don't know what, you know, I can be skeptical about what Glow is experiencing. It's been very interesting. And she's had very interesting dialogues with us over the Internet. And, you know, typing back and forth, but many sessions. But I never knew it was real or what was going on. I didn't meet her till about a year after it started. She came to New York City, and we had two good days. And I actually played her some Evergreens tapes.
Oh, wow.
And so that she could hear this amazing medium that Michael Blake Reed is.
Right.
But anyways, I never knew what was really going on. I was indifferent whether it was real or not. It was just something that was interesting way to communicate, or what she had to say was interesting. But when we did that session with the Boudins, and I started bringing up facts about from those documents that I read in Mesquite, and Glow didn't know about them, but this being kind of confirmed it. And
yes.
he said the right answers,
yes.
You know what I mean, to some of the questions I said, confirming what I had talked about from the documents. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The being seemed to be aware of that information, especially the sliding plates of the chest, which is exactly how they're described
right. In
the documents. And she was seeing that before I brought it up.
Yes, and it had a very short, you know, snout. You know, it wasn't like a long, big old, you know, clapper like you'd expect from a reptilian being. Just amazing details and amazing conversation that we had. So you guys will have to go back and check that out and try to get a copy of the tape. So Bob, within your speech, you were saying that the prime directive is wrong, that civilizations aren't to interfere with the trajectory of another civilization. Now,
That's the prime directive.
Right. Now, I've talked to a number of, you know, of people out there that are researchers, et cetera, spiritualists, and they're all like, yeah, that's right. You don't, you know, interfere with the trajectory, but you're saying that's completely wrong.
Right. They have interfered many times. Well, look what they did. They mated with us. That's what the line in the Bible, I think it's in Genesis, right? The daughters of man mated with the gods, right?
Yes.
That is an actual reference to this historical thing. And remember, the Bible can go back to 6,000 B.C. I mean, it goes back quite far, right?
Right.
And so that oral tradition would pass that on. So that's an actual biblical reference to what I'm saying happened. But the thing is, what was I going to say? They have interfered. They have helped. All major developments in major civilizations were inaugurated, like the example I gave of an ancient civilization being given and shown ball bearings. That helped that civilization think, because until you see something, you don't think that way.
Right.
But if you see something, your brain will start to say, well, that exists. How does that happen, and what can we do with it?
Right.
How can we improve on it? That's why, here's the myth of Philip Corso. Now, this is another controversial statement from me. Corso's idea of reverse engineering.
Yes.
And that there's some kind of trade going on between, I don't know, the MJ-12 or Kissinger and the contactees, the UFOs, and they're secretly helping us develop our chip technology.
Right.
The reason that's not true is that if we interacted with the Boodians and they gave us some technologies, we would change, dramatically change with the kind of technology we'd be able to understand. I mean, 10,000 years ago, ball bearings, that was a big deal, right? But that's not a big deal today. So for them to impress us over the last 30 years, they would give us something that would be so amazing, it would change us, which is the McLuhan point. You bring in new technology, it changes us. We have changed many times in the 20th century. But the fact we haven't changed, we're still the same ignorant people in the way we interact with each other on the national levels. That proves that we have not had any interaction and gotten any technology.
So hold it, but how did that civilization, what did you see as a change in that civilization that got the ball bearings?
They changed. They developed and started to progress rapidly. And the
But didn't the transistor kind of do that for us?
Yeah, but that was our own technology. The kind of technology that they would have given us would have been way beyond the transistor.
Okay.
And the way it would alter our relationships, our sense of ourselves.
Okay.
Let's imagine they could give us something where they could zap us, you know, disappear you, and then press another button and you'd come back.
Yeah.
Imagine they did something like, you know, like something like Star Trek scenario or something, or even more extreme,
right.
Which I assure you they can do that kind of stuff. Because
yes.
When they altered the wrist, they just put a little device and laid it up against the ape's hand, and that happened. You know, like it was like a radiating thing that altered the genetic structure.
Yes.
I mean, just the fact that they can travel and do what they do. I mean, I understand that they may be shapeshifters.
Oh.
And that the image that Glow saw may be the standard image they've been presenting to us for thousands of years, as my documents record, but they can be other shapes. Totally different kinds of beings.
Hey, Bob, I'm sorry, Derek. Look, I'm just because the time is running out, let me make this quick break, and then when I come back, I want to ask you, if it is the reptilians is an image that is being put in our heads, and it's by the Boodians, why is it something that has been associated with fear and bloodletting and baby sacrifice and, you know, all that stuff, the Queen of England and all this?
Right.
So on the lines, Bob Dobbs, it is a celebration of a realization that something happened to us 27,500 years ago B.C., and it had to do with the Boodians. And we're talking with Bob Dobbs about that. We'll be back right after this very short break.
Where the past and the future converge. Go to www.radioalchemy.com. RadioAlchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
All right, I said that was going to be short, and I am not kidding because, you know, time is absolutely flying. So, Bob, about then this connection between the idea of reptilianism in our brains and how it has been the food for so many folks to talk about the control, a superstructure that is over governments, that's, you know, the idea of bloodlines, okay, blue bloods. Supposedly reptilian blood is a much darker, almost violet color because of the carbon in it or the kind of nutrients that are in that, and we have blue bloods. How do you think that all evolved? I mean, are there shapeshifters right here on this planet?
There's several points, but first I want to say, to wrap up, we were talking about the Prime Directive. So I'm saying that they will interact with us when they want to, when they think we need the assistance. They don't want to let us flounder around and destroy ourselves. And I want to leave this thought on that theme.
Okay.
They are considering, based on my obscure sources I have now, not from the documents, but from my amazing intelligence access that I have, which is very esoteric, they are looking at what we're doing to ourselves now, and we're on the edge, maybe, of destroying ourselves. And they are seriously, the Boonies are seriously thinking, maybe we need to alter the humans again.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Now,
okay.
Set that up.
Okay.
Let's say they pick you. They show up in your home, and they're going to alter you. It's just like when anything new and unfamiliar happens, you're going to get scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural instinctive reaction. You don't want to go into something you don't know the implications of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say the Boodians are masters in interacting with our civilization and preparing us for moving out. Generally, on the mass mind level, this is very frightening to have a different view of the universe that we've been not thought about for centuries. So we are in a paranoid state already interacting with them, and they're aware of that. And so, for example, when many people have seen Boodian vehicles, and when they often report it as sort of attacking the human, sort of swooping by them,
mm-hmm.
they do that to see if the human, how the human will react. Will
yes.
they throw oranges at the thing?
Right.
They check you out.
Oh,
in other words, it's like two mafia godfathers meet.
Right.
And they're two new godfathers. They don't know each other. The old ones got killed off. And they've got to determine what their territories are or how much they can trust each other. That's a very paranoid, intense situation. Just think of those two guys in Goodfellas. Remember the joking scene when one mafia guy is joking with the other guy and the other guy can't take it?
Yes.
I know. Joe, what was his name?
Pesci.
Yeah, Joe Pesci does that scene, that great scene. But think of cultures meeting like that. It is a they respect us, and they're not superior to us. They think it's amazing how we have survived in this environment. Their environment's different than ours, and they've mastered that. But they couldn't master this environment. The temperatures are hard for them. They have to adapt to it. So they admire what we've done under our conditions. They respect us, but they know that there's something they can show us that we would be interested in having. So there's this initial paranoia. Now, on top of that, what happened when the Russians had that obvious contact in the fall of 89, which I've referred to in other shows, not going to go into the details. The military intelligence around the world, six major NATO nations, said, well, we don't know what these beings are going to do. So we've got to maybe set up a protection role. So they sent out people like Cooper. They're already anticipating it. Cooper sort of surfaces in 88 and 89.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up the X-Files and all that stuff in the early 90s. And the idea of promoting David Icke, these ideas of reptilians, the intelligence agency said, we must make a fearful image of this phenomenon, this interaction with this extraterrestrial civilization, so that we have a role as being the mediator when the official contact happens. And they didn't know how the contact would happen or what was happening. So they set up a situation where they wanted to protect us. And that kind of meme went all through the UFO community through the early 90s. And my friend Walter Boward, who you know,
yes.
who monitored this and studied this all through the 90s, concluded at the end of the 90s, along with some of his friends, smarter friends, that there were obviously intelligence agents coming into the UFO field and projecting this fear. And by the end of the 90s, some people were starting to become aware of that game, and they weren't falling for it anymore.
Right.
So you have the fear image, the popularity of the reptilian image being spread in the late 80s, early 90s, as part of a human attempt to control this unfamiliar potential interaction. And then you have on top of that the natural fear, or underneath that, the natural fear we're going to have interacting with them.
Very good. So when they show up, everybody runs in the opposite direction, and the intelligence agencies walk up and say, oh, I don't know what's wrong with them. Hi, how can we help you?
Yes, right.
Exactly. And Bob, oh, I'm sorry, dear, go ahead.
Okay, no, go ahead.
Well, I'm saying that we're at the end of the show, and you wanted to say something a little bit off topic of the Boodian question.
Yeah, I have an exclusive.
Yes.
I have talked about Pons and Fleischmann's cold fusion experiment in 1989 and how that's going to come through China in 2010, say, approximately.
Right.
But we're at this crisis now over oil and what we're going to do in the Middle East and clash of civilizations and all the paranoia that's happening right now. There was a discovery over the last year in Switzerland in a very advanced laboratory where what they saw did not make sense. Their calibrations, their measurements of the matter, of the energies that they were studying, produced something that was like off the mark, off the record, off the thermometer, off the barometer, off the measurement machine, off the dial.
Right.
And so I'm saying that this discovery, within a couple of years, will totally change our understanding of energy and create a new kind of motive force. It might be even, anti-gravity, but I'm not saying it's going to be necessarily that. But it's going to be something that will revolutionize the way we move around in our vehicles, way beyond what we are prepared for, and that will immediately make this whole crisis that's building up in the Middle East as totally irrelevant. So that's the positive news, that these scientists have come across something, they're studying it now. There's hardly any mention of it anywhere, but my sources have told me about it. And there was one mention in the newspaper I heard from a friend. I don't know when it was. I have to get that eventually. This person said there seems to be a little bit of mention of it in this newspaper article. That person's looking for it for me. The important point is that I'm saying that there's a new kind of, we'll call it motive force. This is not cold fusion. This is something else like moving vehicles around that is going to obsolesce the whole oil industry.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, and this is out of Switzerland?
Yes.
Or Sweden?
A lab in Switzerland.
It's in Switzerland.
Yes. Now, the interesting thing, so Mark, that let's see if it does surface over the next 2 years, and I know I have no way to prove this, just like I couldn't prove the jaw thing.
Right.
I had no way to show it, a bunch of Xeroxes. Who's going to believe that? I could have made them up. But I'm making this statement, and I'm putting it on the record, and let's see whether it bears fruit. And if it's true, and I'm saying it is, we got some good news coming that's going to surprise this whole dilemma and bog down we're getting in the Middle East.
We have to rock and roll. Bob, thank you so much. Website for Bob Dobbs, geez, is www.fivebodied.com. FiveBodied.com. Check it out. Audio up there. All the stuff. Bob, thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you do and that you keep coming back and reminding us about the media and or the extension of the First Nature Body and how important it is. People,
yes.
I think, will get it, but we have to run, darling.
Congratulations for being the one to discover the facts.
Well, love, you know what? It's a team effort, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, love, stay tuned, all right? And thank you so much for being up late. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.